Today's daf is daf kuf gimel. We're going to start on kuf beis on the beis. We touched on the Mishnah yesterday. Let's go over the Mishnah. And this Mishnah continues to differentiate between Migdash and Medina. And in this case, we're talking about the string of a harp, of a kinar, that was ripped on Shabbos. The Mishnah says, Koshrin neima b'migdash avalo b'medina. We're permitted to tie this chut of the kinar that ripped on Shabbos, but only the kinaros that are used to accompany the vocal singing of the Levium in the Beis HaMikdash. And for the sake of this accompaniment, the mitzvah of Shira Bekli, which was fulfilled by the Levium in the Beis HaMikdash, is they were allowing one of these 39 malachas of Shabbos, namely Shira, which is a Doraisa, and this is based on the principle of Machshirei Mitzvah Dochim Es HaShabbos, that since they were menagein, they played these instruments together with the Karbanis and the Mikdash even on Shabbos, therefore this Kshira is considered Machshirei Mitzvah, and it ripped on Shabbos, so he couldn't have done anything about it on Erev Shabbos, it's Docha Shabbos, Avalo B'Medina. But obviously outside of the Mikdash, in Gvulin, where there's no heter of Karbanos on Shabbos, therefore this would be a violation of Maleches Kosher, and it certainly would be prohibited. The Im B'Tchila, the Mishnah goes on to stipulate that if there was a neima, there was a string in the accord in the harp that was missing from the beginning, and now he wants to set it up on Shabbos, then kan v'kan, also even in the Beis HaMikdash, it's also because when we say that Machshir and Mitzvah Dochem is a Shabbos, that's only if it was Efshal Asosu B'Erev Shabbos. But here we have a case of Efshal Asosu B'Erev Shabbos. He could have easily have fixed up this cord, added this cord on Erev Shabbos. He knew, and it was obvious to everyone, that this Neima was missing on Erev Shabbos. Why didn't he fix it up on Erev Shabbos? So that's called Machshir Mitzvah She'efshal Lasosan Miba'odyon. He could have done it before Shabbos, and that's not Docha Shabbos. But obviously, if the Neima broke on Shabbos, he couldn't have fixed it on Erev Shabbos. He didn't anticipate this situation, and therefore he would be allowed to be Docha Shabbos. So this Mishnah, on the one hand, reflects the Shita that Machshir and Mitzvah are Docha Shabbos. But number two, the restriction, the limitation is that if it was Efshal Asosu Mibod Yom, then it's not Docha Shabbos. The Gemara now raises a stira from a brisa. Veraminu, we learned in a brisa, Nimas Kinar Shenifsika Lo Hoya Kosra Ela Onva. And here we have the exact identical case of the Mishnah, but the Mishnah had permitted even Kshira. This brisa only allows aniva, only to tie a bow. So the Gemara answers to reconcile this apparent contradiction between the Mishnah and the brisa. Lokasha ha rabbanu v'ha Rabbi Eliezer, meaning that even though the avodas hakorban itself, if it's a korban tzibur, of course, is docha Shabbos, that's explicit in the Torah, Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato. But nevertheless, as far as Machshirei Mitzvah concerned, when those are Docha Shabbos, this is not the Avod itself. This is only setting up an instrument and fix it in such a way that he could accompany the Avod on Shabbos. The Rabbanan hold that Machshirei Mitzvah Einam Dochim Es HaShabbos, and therefore they will seek out another way of fixing the instrument without violating the Shabbos. No malach of Shabbos will be permitted. And that's even with regard to the Beis HaMikdash. We're dealing with Maleches Kosher Doraisa over here. However, our Mishnah, which allows Kshira on Shabbos, that's a reflection of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara now explains to Rabbi Eliezer de Omar, his opinion is Machshir Mitzvah Dochenes HaShabbos. And this position of Rabbi Eliezer is quoted in the Mishnayos at the end of Masechta Shabbos, in regard in the context of Machshirei Mila, also in Masechta Pesachim on Daf Samach Hei, with regard to Machshirei Karbon that Adoches HaShabbos. However, Rabbanan Amri, Rabbanan disagree, and they say Ein Dochin. They will not allow you to be Docha Shabbos for the sake of Machshirei Mitzvah. The only way they would permit you to fix up this Neima that broke on Shabbos is Onva, is instead of Kshira Duana Niva. And the Torah, when it prohibited as one of the 39 Malachas Kshira, did not include a Niva in that prohibition. So the Gemara now raises the following question. Wait a second. E, Rabbi Eliezer, if our Mishnah reflects the Shita, Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that Machshirei Mitzvah Dochenes HaShabbos Afilu Chatchila Nami, what happens if he has an instrument which was missing a chord? And not just that it broke on Shabbos, but even on Erev Shabbos. But we don't know that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's any difference in terms of Machshirei Mitzvah, whether it's Efshal Asosu Me'esmol or E'Efshal Asosu Me'esmol. And now we're definitely assuming that Rabbi Eliezer, as a blanket absolute statement, holds that Machshirei Mitzvah Dochenes HaShabbos even in a case of Efshal Asosu Me'esmol. So why does the Mishnah prohibit it in the case where there was a neimah that was missing as he went into Shabbos? Ella, then therefore we have no choice but to assume that our Mishnah does not reflect the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who's Mater Machshirei Mitzvah in any case. But Lo Kasha, we can now reconcile this theory between the Mishnah and the Braisa in a different way. Everybody holds that Machshirei Mitzvah are Dochem as the Shabbos. The issue here is whether or not we can offer a different recommendation and just avoid being Docha Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah, that allows Kshir on Shabbos. That's because Machshir Mitzvah Docha Mitzvah Shabbos, and there's no option to circumvent the Moleches Kosher by doing it on Aniva, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Aniva is exactly identical with Kshir as far as the Moloch of Kshir is concerned. It's a Moloch of Gmur L'chol Davar. V'har Rabbanan, but on the other hand, the Rabbanan who, in the Braisa, they recommend, or shall we say, require Aniva, not Kshira, that's because the Rabbanan hold that Kshira is a Malacha Gemur, but Aniva is not a Malacha, and therefore there's no heter to do a Kshira when he could just easily and accomplish the same goal through Aniva. The Gemara now goes back and asks Akash, okay, fine, you know, the way you interpreted the Braisa, that works out very well, because those who hold that a kesher of aniva is mutter, they will obviously advocate in favor of aniva in the case of a nemas kinar, but not kshir, of course. But our Mishnah, we have two shitos with regard to Machshir Mitzvah. We have Rabbi Eliezer who says that Machshir Mitzvah Dochas HaShabbos, and that we said was total and all-inclusive. We had the Rabbanan Shita that say that Machshir Mitzvah not Dochas HaShabbos. We don't find, or we don't know of a third Shita. Therefore, we have to ask our question on the Mishnah. We have just established that the Mishnah, its authorship should be attributed to Rabbi Yehuda, who equates Aniva with Kshir. They're both included in the Malacha Doraisa, Aliba Deman. But as far as Machshir Mitzvah is concerned, which Shita is reflected in the Mishnah? If we're reflecting the Shita of the Rabbanan that Machshir Mitzvah not Dochas HaShabbos, then there would be no heter to be kosher a kinar for the sake of Negina B'Migdash, because even if what happened on Shabbos, and the neimah was ripped on Shabbos, nevertheless, we cannot justify violating the Shabbos for Machshirei Mitzvah. The Ialiba de Rabbi Eliezer, and here we start the daf for today, daf Kuf Gimel, the Ka'omer, he holds that as an absolute statement, You apply the principle of Machshir Mitzvah Dochenes Shabbos even if the Neima was absent on Erev Shabbos and it was Efshel Asosim Vod Yom. Nevertheless, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is that it's a blanket heter of Machshir Mitzvah. If we need it, then we'll do it. And that's it. Even if it was ripped before Shabbos. So why did the Mishnah stipulate that it has to be a case where it ripped on Shabbos? Ella, says the Gemara, there's no, you know, gain over here by interpreting our Mishnah in the light of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Aye, there's a stira, there's a contradiction now between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Lo kasha. Ha, Rabbi Shimon. Ha, Rabbanan. Now we have to introduce a third Shita to the Tanoim, and that's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, which we're going to see in the Braisa, and why Rabbi Shimon would advocate in favor of Haniva as opposed to Kshira. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, allows even Kshira. That reflects the Shita of the Rabbanan in this, that we're going to learn now in this coming Braisa, that differentiate between Machshir Mitzvah She'efshal Asosim Yasmol, which are not Docha Shabbos, as opposed to Machshir Mitzvah She'efshar Hayol Asosim Yasmol. They are Docha Shabbos. This Sanya will enter the Braisa. Ben Levi She'nifsekalo Neima Bekinar. So we have now a situation of a Levi, and he cannot play the instrument, the Kinar, because is Nifsika, the Neima broke, the cord broke. And how will he now play this Kinar as an accompaniment to the Hakrovas HaKarbon? Is Koshra, the Braisa says that he's allowed to tie in on Shabbos, Kosh Machshir Mitzvah Dochen Shabbos. But that's only in a, that's because lo nifsko v'shabbos ela chofetz l'kvo asham neima mitchila asur. That's only in a case where it was the efshar lasosom yesmo, and it was nifsko v'shabbos. If it wasn't nifsko v'shabbos, but he wants to establish a neima there for the first time and put that cord in, is that's not docha shabbos, and therefore we understand koshra in the case where nifska b'shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Omer onva. Rabbi Shimon is not going to allow you to make a kesher because he holds that machshir mitzvah not doches shabbos at all, period. And then we have Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer. Okay, this is a little bit of a digression of Shimon Elazar, but he's of the opinion that af hi eino mashmas sakol. You're not going to gain anything by fixing this Nemo, neither with Aniva nor with Kshira. That tikkun is not going to bring the Kinar back and its sound to what it was initially. And therefore, since this Kshira has a double chisaron, first of all, it really has any toeles, and also it's an amalach, and therefore in a koshra, ela mishalshel milamata v'korich milamala, o mishalshel milamala v'korich milamata. What you're allowed to do is, the way you would do it, Darko B'chol, he doesn't do it on Shabbos. In other words, what he's going to have to do it is, he's going to be take this Yosed, which is on the lower part of the Kino, that's the rush of the Nemo. And what he does is he stretches it out and he's Masareches HaNeima, and it reaches the top part, the part where he, which is close to his chin, his body, and the Korech, and then he takes the other side, the other end of the Neima, and Al Yosei Milamala, and then he puts it up on top. And he goes back to be Megalgil the Yosed in order to stretch out the Neima so that there is a good sound. Or he could do it the other way around. He could Mishalshi, he could stretch out the Neima Milamala and then be Korech Rosha Milamata. But in any event, what we gain from this price for our purposes is the Sheet of Rav Shimon. He rejects the principle of Machshir Mitzvah Doches HaShabbos. He only has the option of Aniva, and that was the opinion that was expressed or reflected in the Braisa, that we can only allow Aniva and not Kshira. Now the Mishnah, on the other hand, is attributed to the Chachamim of Rabbi Shimon, and they allow Machshir Mitzvah only in a case where it ripped on Shabbos and it was efshar, but in the case of mitchila, it was efshar lasosu mibon yom, then it's os ibois ema. Another way of reconciling the Mishnah with the Braisa is ha v'ha rabbanon. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa agree with Rabbanon and the Braisa, who are matir machshir mitzvah, if it's efshar lasosu miyasma v'lo kasha. Khan, in our case of Mishnah, that was mekil and allowed kshira, that's in a case of b'emtza, that the neimah broke in the middle of the kinar, and now it needs that masicha chazoka, that stretching in a very tight way that we mentioned earlier, and aniva, which is a weak kind of a kesher, is not going to be meaningful. Therefore, we can only be matir lekosher in order to achieve our goal, and machshir mitzvah dochas hashabbos. But Khan, in the braisa that allows only aniva, that's a case of nikra minatzad. And if it's minatzad, then it's effective to do a masicha klusha, even a weak kind of stretching is enough, and therefore aniva will suffice, and we're not going to be matir meleches kosher. Ibois Eimon, a final answer, is Hova Habiemsa. And our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, the Braisa is like Rabbi Shimon. And Nikra, name of Bi Emsa. And even Rabbi Shimon is Modet the Chachamim that Mikra did Machshir Mitzvah Dokas Shabbos. But Mar Sovar, according to Rabbi Shimon, Gazrinon, we're going to institute Gzera. That in the case where it ripped in the middle, we're afraid that he might confuse with the case of Minatzad. If we're going to be Matik Shira, when the name of this cord was ripped in the middle, they're going to come to be Matik. They'll also permit Nikra Minatzad. They won't understand that these are two different things in Mitzias. They're just fundamentally different, one from the other. And because of this Chashash, the Rabbanan instituted the Gzera, even in the Migdash. Umar Sava, the Rabbanan hold Lo Gazrina, and they don't have a gzera from Nikra Be'emtza to Nikra Min Hatzad. Today's daf is Daf Kuf Gimel. We'll start with the Mishnah, which is approximately 10 lines down from the top. Chotchim Yabeles B'Migdash. We're talking about an animal, according to Rashi, according to the Rama, we're talking about a human being who finds the Yabeles, and we have now with this Yabeles, a kind of a part of the bus or of the skin that juts out a little bit. It's kind of a wart. And are we allowed to cut it off? Because if it's Shabbos, then we have a problem of Leches Gozes by cutting something off that's attached to the skin and is alive. But on the other hand, we need to cut this off in order that we could be makriv this behemah as a karban. And there are many kvasim that are brought as tmidim and as musafim that are docha Shabbos. So for the sake of the mitzvah of the karban on Shabbos, the Mishnah will allow you to cut this wart off so that the karban is kosher or the kohen is kosher. However, as we're going to see, the heter is limited to yad. He's only allowed to pull off this wart with his hand so that he doesn't violate melechas gozes d'orais. And this is the principle of what's called kilacher yad. When you do a melech on Shabbos in an unusual way, not kedarka, then it's mutter on a d'orais level, the Rabbanan aser it. But here the Rabbanan are going to allow it in the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of the carbon. Avalo b'medina, outside the Mikdash, it's a shvus de Rabbanan, and we will not allow a shvus de Rabbanon when it's not necessary to be doche the karmon. In other words, if it's not for the sake of the karmon, he has his own personal issues, then of course we have a shvus de Rabbanon. But in Bekli, if he uses a special knife, which is the derech that gziza is usually done, then he's performing a kedarka, that's a dorais already, asur kan v'kan. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, it's prohibited. We will not allow in the Mikdash a violation of melach doraisa. We'll only allow a shvus. Ein shvus b'Mikdash, but on a doraisa melacha, then that's also even in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara later on is going to deal with whether or not, in fact, cutting off the Yabeles with a kli is doraisa or is it not doraisa. And the language of the Mishnah also sounds like it's not Doraisa. We're going to assume right now it is Doraisa. It's a violation of Melechus Gozes Kedarka, and therefore it's also even in the Migdash. The Gemara now raises a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Masechta Psachim. The Mishnah in Masechta Psachim on Daf Samachei Amid Beis is addressing the case of Yudalid ben Nisan, which coincides with the Shabbos, the 14th of Nisan, the day in which they bring the Karban, and it's Shabbos. Okay, this is not something that we have to get so excited about, because in fact, Karbanos are Docha Shabbos, and in this case, Karban Pesach is Docha Shabbos. But there are other things which are not involved in the actual Hakrava, the bringing of the Karban Pesach as a Maisakrava, but are necessary preconditions, and they're Litzorach Karban Pesach, but they're not actually Avod. For example, Harkevo, let's say he takes the lamb, the Paschal lamb as we call it, on his shoulders, and he wants to bring it into the Azora, and he travels, he carries it through Erushus Arab, or he's got to take this seh, this lamb, from outside the Tchum Shabbos. Or, chatichas yabalto, he has to take off the wart, so that it'll be kosher as a Korban Pesach, otherwise it's a balmum. Einam dochem, this would not be docha Shabbos, none of the above. Rabbi Eliezer omer dochem es a Shabbos. It would override the Shabbos. Now, it's very interesting, because our Mishnah, which reflects the opinion of the Tanakhama, says that chituch, to cut off the abelos on Shabbos, even for the sake of the hakrova, is mutter in the Beis HaMikdash. When I say even, I mean for the sake of hakrova, is mutter in the Beis HaMikdash. And our Mishnah is what you call a Stam Mishnah. And therefore, we have every reason to assume that that according to our Mishnah, we override the Shabbos for the sake of the Karban. Yet, if you take a look at this Mishnah in Psachim, the Mishnah in Psachim quotes the Tanakhama as saying "Ein Tochnis Shabbos," and on the list of that which is not Tochnis Shabbos, he has Chatichas Yabalto, cutting off the abelis, it's not Docha Shabbos. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Dochem es Shabbos. Only Rabbi Eliezer who says that. But he seems to be the minority view, and the Stam Tanakhama view, which is expressed and reflected here in the Mishnah in Psachim, is that Einom Dochem es Shabbos. Our Mishnah says Dochem es Shabbos. Do we not have a contradiction here between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Psachim? So the Gemara quotes two answers to this question. And we're not sure which Amora gave which answer. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. One of them, Chad Amor, one of these two Amoraim, gave the following reconciliation. Hava ha bilacha. Now, lacha means that the skin is still attached to the body. It's very much alive. It's not dry skin, like a scab of that sort. It is live skin. And that means that it's an integral part of the body of the animal. We'll go with Rashi Shita, we're talking about the animal. The same would apply to human being, according to the Rambam. And therefore, when you cut off a yabelis lacha, you are involved in Melechus Gozes. Now, if both the Mishnah here in Erevin and the Mishnah in Psachim as well are dealing with the case of Yabelis Lacha, now we have a reconciliation between the two. Why? Lokasha. Kan biyad. Kan bikli. Our Mishnah is talking about a case, and therefore we're lenient, where he does a kelachar yad. He doesn't take a special knife and cut off the Yabelis. And therefore, there's no Melechus Gozes violation on a Doraisa level. We can be matir in Migdash because ain't Shmus be Migdash. But the Mishnah in Psachim is addressing a case where he's cutting
interesting, cutting off the Avels with a knife, and that is the Meleches Gozes Kedarka, and that we cannot allow on Shabbos, even in the Beis HaMikdash. The only difference between the Mikdash and Medina is only as far as Shvus, but not as far as Melech Doraisa. If you're dealing with Yad, okay, that's a Melech Darabonon, and our Mishnah can make that leniency, but if you're dealing with the Kli, that's Meleches Gozes Gemura Doraisa, and Yechai V'chatos, and so for that, we cannot allow even in the Mikdash. That was one answer. That we'll call the Teretz Rishon. So the Teretz Rishon is differentiated between Yad and Kli. And Chad Omar, according to another opinion of these two opinions, Havaha, B'Yad. Both are talking about a case of Yad. Now, if it's a case of Yad, it's Shalok Kedarko. So now we have to ask ourselves the question, well, if it's B'Yad and it's only an Issa Drabbanon, why would the Mishnah Psachim prohibit it? Lokasha, ha, the Mishnah Psachim that prohibits it, it's Bilacha. It's talking about a case of a live wart. In other words, it's connected to the body. And in such a case, if you're using your yad, you're violating an Issa Drabbanon. However, here's a case where he could have done this yesterday. And even though we are willing to be makil and say Ein Shvus B'Mikdash and allow you to rip off this Yabelas B'Yad on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, but that's only because he couldn't have done it yesterday. Our case is a case where he could have done it yesterday. That's the case in Psachim, and therefore, since it's Lacha, and if he would have used the Kli, he would have violated Gziza Doraisa. And now, since he's using his Yad, it is Gozes Derabbanan. But we're not going to allow it in Mikdash in this case, because Haya Yochel Lechotcha Neyes, well, he could have taken it off yesterday, before Shabbos. Ha, our Mishnah that's Matir is B'Yevesha. Yevesha means it's no longer part of the goof. It's really just an addendum to the goof. It's not nourished from the goof. There's no blood circulation. It's Yevesha. It's totally dry. And therefore, there's not even an Issa D'Rabbanan involved in a case where he takes it off B'Yad. So now we have sort of like two strikes either against or for you, depending on your perspective, but two strikes against the Melech D'Oraisa. Number one, he's doing it B'Yad. And number two, it's Yevesha. And when we have that combination, the Rabbanan didn't ask it at all, and therefore it's mutter to cut it off for the purpose of the Avoda and the Mikdash, for the Karban, even though he could have done it yesterday. It's not even also in the Mid Rabbanan. Now the Gemara is going to go into an analysis why each one of these two answers, answer number one, didn't explain it the way answer number two, and vice versa. Lamandi Omar Habiyad Habakli. Let's go back to the first reconciliation. So we're talking about Yabelis Lacha, and the difference is whether it's Yad or Kli. My time alo Omar Habalacha Habiyavesha. Why not just simply accept the second Teretz and differentiate between Lacha and Yevesha? Omar Lacha, he says, Yevesha afil b'kli nami shari. That's all that we found in our Mishnah was a heter b'yad, but we never found a heter b'kli. And if you're talking about Yevesha, you might as well just cut it off with a knife. It's not part of the body. It's not growing. It's just... And my time in the Gemara sort of demonstrates this in a very dramatic way. It says, Ifruche ifarcha. He's really just crumbling it. It's not something that's part of the goof of the animal or the person, and therefore it should be us. So therefore, the Mishnah, which says that you're not allowed to use a kli, right, because we're assuming you're talking about a yad, that doesn't make any sense. You could even use a kli, and that's why the first Teretz did not accept the second Teretz. Now the Gemara goes the exact opposite. Ulaman diyomer, according to the second Teretz, ha balacha ha b'yevesha. My time alo omer ha b'yad ha b'kli. Why couldn't that man diyomer accept the first answer and differentiate and reconcile the mission of the Braisa where ha b'yad ha b'kli? You know, we're talking about lacha. But the question is whether he did it with his yad or with his kli. So Gemara answers, Amalecha, the second Tarzan would say, the reason why he rejects the first Tarzan is because Bekli, if you're talking about a Mishnah in Psachim that prohibits Kli, is why would the Mishnah in Psachim repeat what we already have in our Mishnah, Hatnan im Bekli Kanvakan Asa? Our Mishnah here in Masechta Erevin says explicitly that if it would be with a Kli, that's a violation of Malacha Doraisa, and therefore it would be Asur here and it would be Asur there. The Idach. Now let's go back to the first Tarzan. After all, we have that Kasha now, Haktani Hasam. Well, it's why would the Mishnah there, Psachim, repeat what it already has here in the Mishnah in Erevin? And the Gemara answers, Mishum de Kaboy, Yefluge, Rabbi Eliezer, Verabanan. Because we wanted to have a machlokas here between, introduce a machlokas here between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon, which does not appear in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Eliezer is going to allow you, according to this explanation, because again, we're going back to the first Tarzan, and the first Tarzan said, Habiyad Habakli. And what it means to say is that in the case of a kli, and we're dealing with now a lacha, we're dealing with a violation of the Issa of the rice, and yet, as the Mishnah records in Pesachim, Rabbi Eliezer would be matarid. And the reason for that is because Rabbi Eliezer holds that makshir mitzvah dochim es hashabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer would be matar even if it were lacha and bekli, which means a clear-cut, full-fledged meleches gozes dorais. V'idach, why does the second Tarzan reject the first Teretz, and the second Tarzan makes a distinction between Lacha and Yeveshi refuses to accept the first Tarzan? And we said that even if we're going to say that the Mishnah has to mention the Isur Chituch Yabelas Bekli, and that's the Mishnah Pesachim, in order to add the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer to this whole conglomeration. That's impossible. If we read the Sefer of the Mishnah Pesachim, we're going to convince ourselves that we're not dealing with a Malacha D'Oraisa. We're dealing with a Malacha D'Rabbanan. How so? Dumya de'erkeva v'avosam yichutz l'tchum d'ktani. The Mishnah mentions three cases. Number one, where he has to put the seh on his back and bring it from chutz l'tchum. And we had the case of herkevo, and we're going to see that herkevo, even though he takes it through shusharab, we have a principle called hachai nosis. That's where he doesn't violate an isur d'oraisa. And yabelis, therefore chotcho yabelis, that's also talking about a derabbanan. So it doesn't make sense to tell me that we're talking about a case of Chituch Yabeles Bekli to introduce Rabbi Eliezer's breakthrough Shita of Machshir Mitzvah Dochemes HaShabbos, because we're talking Dumya de Chutz L'Tchum, Dumya de Herkevo Al Ktefo. These are all Drabbanon. So we're talking about a Yabeles Lacha, but Biyad. And if it's Biyad, it's not a Malach Doraisa. That's obvious. So you can't tell me that the Mishnah Pesachim is coming to introduce the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, because the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer is even on a Malach Doraisa you're allowed, because of Machshir Mitzvah Dochas Shabbos. Here we're talking about a Malach Dorabbanan. V'idach, how is the first Tarzan going to justify the Mishnah Pesachim? He's going to be Mechalik between Kli and Yad. He's going to tell you the Mishnah Pesachim is talking about Chituch Yabelis Bekli, and it's a violation of Melechus Gozes Doraisa, and we're introducing Rabbi Eliezer's breakthrough Shita of Machshir Mitzvah Dochas Shabbos. That can't be, because it's not Dumya, it's not similar to the other cases of Herkiva Ksefo or Hotzio Michutz Etchum, Hevi Yochutz Etchum. Those are Durabonans. So he answers, Herkevo, but rather according to those who disagree with Rabbi Nosser. Rabbi Nosser was the one who held Hachai Nosias Atzmo, that when you carry a live being, you're not violating Melechus Hotzah. Those Chachamim who disagree, they were the authors of this Braisa, and therefore this Braisa is consistently dealing with a Doraisa, a violation of a Doraisa, even when he carries the set on his shoulders through a public domain, he violates the full-fledged Torah violation. Because we don't apply the principle of Chai Nosi Atzatzmo, and Havas Omichutz L'Tchum, Ki Rabbi Akiva D'Yom Tchum V'Doraisa. So that this Mishnah in Psochem, when it mentions Chutz L'Tchum, reflects the Shita Rabbi Akiva that Tchumen is Doraisa, and a violation of an Issa Torah on Shabbos, and Yabelis is also a violation of Doraisa of Itzalacha B'Kli. Mosiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is going to raise an objection on the first teretz that the Mishnah in Psochem is dealing with an Issa Doraisa of Yabelis Lacha B'Kli. What? I don't understand. Let's look at Rabbi Eliezer, who's Matir, and in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer actually presents his logical argument as to why he was matir. Omer Rabbi Eliezer, kal v'chomer. In order to explain why harkavas haseh or havas haseh michutz l'tchum is mutter together with chatichas yabelis, I'm going to apply and override the Shabbos. I'm going to apply the following logic, the following kal v'chomer. Mashchit eshim alocha dochas haShabbos. For the sake of the Korban Pesach, if the 14th of Nisan falls out on Shabbos, we will shech the Korban Pesach. So we violate a full-fledged Malacha Doraisa of Shechita for the sake of the Korban Pesach. Is Elu She Mishum Shvus? They don't have any Siddurais. They're all Mishum Shvus. Einu Dinshi Dochus HaShabbos. Certainly, they would override the Shabbos. If you override the Shabbos for Malacha Doraisa for the sake of the Korban, how much more so you would override a Malacha D'Rabbanon and Issa D'Rabbanon. So we see clearly, not like the first Taratzin, and the Mishnah in Psochim is talking about D'Rabbanon. So you can't tell me that the Mishnah in Psochim is adding the sheet to Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer would have been Matir even on D'Oraisa. Elom Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef has his own reconciliation of the two Mishnayos, the Mishnah here in Erevin and the Mishnah in Psochim. Hava Habiyat. We're talking about a kelach yad situation where the violation is only derabanan, and therefore our Mishnah is matir chatichas yabelis in the migdash, based on this principle of ein shvus b'migdash. Now you're asking me, so why did the Mishnah in Psachim prohibit it? If you're talking about a case of yad is kelach yad, certainly would apply the principle of ein shvus b'migdash. And the answer is, here's the breakthrough of Rav Yosef. Shvus Migdash, b'migdash itir, shvus the migdash b'medina lo itir. It's not enough that you're doing an action that violates the Shabbos for the sake of the migdash. You have to do it in the location of the migdash. So that which you do at home, for example, you have your little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, right? So this lamb you're bringing in the Korban Pesach, and you realize, hey, this lamb has the abelis. You want to bring it to the Azara. Today is Shabbos. And you want to cut the abelis so that this lamb will be kosher for Korban Pesach. True, we have a principle of Shvus B'Migdash is mutter, but not if you're doing it in your home. So you now have your yabelis, your Korban Pesach, in your backyard, and you know you checked it out, you found the moom, and now you want to cut it off for the sake of the Korban Pesach. We're not going to allow you to, not even b'yad, even though it's only the Rabbanon. We're not going to allow violations of Shus Rabbanon in Medina, even though you're doing it in Migdash, meaning for the sake of the Migdash, but you're doing it outside the Migdash. Yosef Abaye v'karma lo Allah shmaitita. Abaye was presenting this whole sugya of Rav Yosef, and Eisvei Rav Safra l'Abaye. Rav Safra is going to ask Abaye a bomb question. Abaye is not going to know the answer to this question. The Mishnah, back on Daf Tzadi Zayin, you may recall, Hayakori b'sefer alay skupa. He was standing on the threshold of his house, and he was reading one of the Sifrei Kodesh. When his galgal ha-sefer miyodu, their svarim was scrolls, and the other end of the scroll fell into Rishus HaRabim, is golo etzlo. He's allowed to roll it back into the eskupa. Why? Because otherwise it's a terrible bizayon, it's humiliating for the Sefer Torah. So for the sake of avoiding bizayon Sefer Torah, they would allow a violation of a Shvus D'Rabbanan to carry this Sefer Torah that landed in the Rishus HaRabim and take it into the Eskupa, which would be a violation of a Shvus D'Rabbanan, And they did it for the sake of Kiddusha Sefer Torah. Vahacha, Shvus b'migdash b'medinahu. Here also, for the sake of Migdash, again, it's not Migdash per se, but it's the Kiddusha, whether it's the Kiddusha of a Karban or the Kiddusha of the Sefer Torah in this case, for that sake, we're going to alleviate the normal Shvus and allow you to violate the Shvus, carrying the Sefer in effect from Rosh Hashanah into the Iskupa. But we have a shvus that normally to take something that fell into Shvus and bring it back to the Iskupa, that's not allowed, because we're always afraid that maybe if it fell completely, and it's not Ogdo Biyodo, here we have a kula of Durabona that reduces it from a Durais Durabona, because he's holding one end of the scroll, so it never really was Munach in Shvus. But let's say he had dropped the entire safe in a fell Rosh Hashanah. If he would take it into his kupa, then he would be violating a full-fledged Malchus Hotzah. But here, since he's holding on to it, it's only a Shvus Rabbana. We're going to allow it for the sake of Kedusha Sefer Torah, even though it's B'Medina. So you see that Ein Shvus B'Migdash applies even outside the four walls of the Beis HaMikdash. So you know what? Abai says, maybe we can find an answer to this question. But again, we'll soon see that Rav Safa is going to stump Abai. But right now, Abai feels confident to offer an answer. And why is this? V'lo kimna, this is a rhetorical question. Do we not interpret this Mishnah? Again, we're talking about the Gemara back on Tzadiches as an Iskupa Karmelis. The Iskupa is not 10 tefachim high and 4 by 4 tefachim wide as a Rishus HaYachim, but it's only 3 tefachim high and it's less than 4 tefachim, and therefore it's only a Karmelis. Now what happens in the worst case scenario? Let's say you dropped the Sefer Torah totally into Rishus HaRab and now he would bring it back. He's standing in a Karmelis. And Hotzob Rishus HaRab into a Karmelis is only a Drabbanan. So now you're going to tell me that in a case of Ogdo Biyado, which is not a Malechas Hotzot Doraisa, and on top to boot, he's in a Karmelis, which is only Drabbanan, we're not going to say that that's Osim Drabbanan. Is Keva the Igudo Biyado, is Afil Shvus Nami Leka. There's no Shvus here at all. He's standing on his Kupa. It's a Karmelis. It's Ogdo Biyado. So there's no Malechas Hotzot, because it was never an Akira Bimokam Anocha. And in that case, it's perfectly Mutter. So therefore, it's not that we were mater shvus de migdash b'medina, but rather there is no shvus at all. Because if the shvus would normally apply in a case where he's standing in Rosh Hashanah, that's one thing, but if he's standing in the Karmelis, then there's no shvus. But Eisvei, here of Safra stumps Abaye. And he has a Mishnah in Shabbos on Daf Yutes. Mishalshalin es ha-pesach litanur im chashecha. Now, normally, as you and I know, this is Parakira and Shabbos, you're not allowed to leave food that's cooking on an open fire on Shabbos, because we're always afraid of what's called Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim, that he'll see that it's not, the fire is not going high, and he'll start poking the coals. And yet, for the sake of the Korban Pesach, they're going to allow you on Erev Pesach to put the lamb into the oven, you know, begin roasting the lamb, and we're talking about a hakrova on Yom Shishi, and what's going to happen is that during the course of Shabbos, the basar will actually be roasted, and we're going to allow this for the sake of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So you see that even though he's doing this in the privacy of his home, and normally we would say there's a chash of Shema Yechata B'Cholim, certainly there will be an Isur Shvus, is going to be martyred for the sake of the Korban Pesach, and that's Ein Shvus B'Migdash, even though he's standing in his own house. V'ahocha de Shvus B'Migdash B'Medina V'lo Gazrina Shem Yechata B'Gecholim. Fascinating proof of Rav Safra. We have now here clear-cut indication that even if he's outside of the four walls of the Beis HaMikdash, we still apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash Ishtik. Abai didn't have an answer. Ki also l'kamid Rav Yosef, since this was a kasha raised against Abai's Rebbe Rav Yosef when he came to Rav Yosef, is Amole, Abai says to Rav Yosef, Hachi Amole Rav Safra. Listen to the objection that Rav Safra raised from a Mishnah in Shabbos. Amole My time alone to Shani, like, why didn't you give him an answer? B'nei Chabura, Zrizanim. We have a principle that Ein Shvus B'Migdosh. Why Ein Shvus B'Migdosh? Because Kohanim Zrizanim. Well, those who were appointed into the Chabura, and they have membership on the Korban Pesach, they're also Zrizanim. They're also very eager to fulfill the mitzvah Hashem. And such individuals would certainly not come to be Mechate B'Gecholim. They'll be very careful not to violate the Shabbos. They know exactly what they have to do, what they're not allowed to do, and there's no worries. Vabaye. So Gemara wants to know, did Abaye know this answer? The answer is, he held Kohanim, Zrizim Heim Amrinim V'nei Chavur, Zrizim Heim Lo Amrinim. Nowhere do we find a source for Rav Yosef's conclusion that B'nei Chavura are Zrizim. We know that Kohanim are Zrizim. The reason why Kohanim are Zrizim is because there are many, many Kohanim. They're working together in the Avodas Bais HaMikdash. They're well-learned in the laws of Kodesh in the Mikdash, and there are many, many people. So these are the scholars, the Kohanim, who are the absolute experts in the laws that pertain to the Avodas HaMikdash, and therefore we have no chash of a shvus. We can say ein shvus Mikdash Rizme. But B'nei Chabura, I mean, that's anybody, that's everybody, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry is required to join a Chabura for the Pesach. And we cannot say that as a whole, the B'nei Chabura is Rizim, and anybody will bring the Korban Pesach. So therefore, if they were Matir Tzlius HaPesach, it must be because there's a principle that Shvus B'Migdash is Mutter, even B'Medina. Rava Omar, Rava has a fourth teretz to reconcile the two Mishnahs, our Mishnah with the Mishnah in Pesachim. And he says that Leolam, both Mishnahs are talking about Iabelis Lacha, which means that we have a problem of Melechus Goseis, but we're talking about Biyad. And if it's Biyad, it's Kalach Yad, it's not a Melech Doris, it's Rabbanon. Rabbi Eliezer, he the Omar, Rabbi Eliezer, the Mishnah in Pesachim, who allows you to cut it. That's Lishitoso all over the place. And that is that Machshir Mitzvah Docher Rasa Shabbos. Now, if you ask me the question, so why does the Mishnah say he's not allowed to cut it with a kli? According to Rav Eliezer, Machshir Mitzvah Docher Doraisa, even Malach Doraisa. I'll say a mod Rabbi Eliezer, this is Rava's breakthrough, the comedy of Shalashnuya Mishanina. If you could avoid violating a Malach Doraisa, then in Machshir Mitzvah, you have to do so. And if you do it with a shinui, you can do it in a way that it's unusual, like with a yad and not with a kli. That's exactly what you're allowed to do. But Rabbi Eliezer is not going to allow you to use a kli when you could have used a yad, because even though machshir mitzvah docha Shabbos, but hech the efshar, if you can avoid violating the Shabbos, that's exactly what you're required to do. And therefore, he's going to require the shinui, and he's going to have to cut off the abelis with his yad, and we're not going to be matir with the kli. And this leads us to Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Maihi, where did you find the source that Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if there's a possibility of circumventing a violation of Shabbos by doing it with a shinui, even though Rabbi Eliezer holds Machshir Mitzvah Docheh as a Shabbos, he still requires you to do with a shinui. There must be a source from which you could derive that conclusion. The Sanya, the Gemara proves it from the case of Kohen Sha'olso Lebo Yabeles. The Kohen has to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and for the temporary time he's a Balmum, he has a wart. And a Balmum cannot do the Avodas HaMikdash. Is Chavero Chotcha Lo B'Shinov? He's allowed to invite his friend to rip off this wart so he can become kosher for the avoda with his teeth. So mind you, there are two shinuyim over here. Number one, he's addressing another person and asking him to remove the wart from his body. So you have Jack Cohen and we have Ralph the Levy. So Ralph the Levy is going to bite off the wart of Jack the Cohen. So we see that we require a double shinui over here, that it should be done through someone else's agency, and it should be done b'shinai. B'shinav in, b'kli lo. Obviously, the b'raisa is excluding cutting off the abelis with a knife. Not only that, chavero in, iu lo. he's not allowed to cut it off. He has to have his friend and invite his friend to do. Now, if we can prove that the authorship of this brisa is to be attributed to Rabbi Eliezer, then we have Rava's conclusion, and this is the basis for Rava, that Rabbi Eliezer also, even though he holds Machshir Mitzvah Docha Mitzvah Shabbos, you're allowed to cut off the Yabelis, but nevertheless, since you could do it with a Shinui, you're required to do it with a Shinui. Now, how do we know that this brisa is Rabbi Eliezer? Mani. If you're going to tell me that this is the Rabbanon Shita who reject Rabbi Eliezer, they hold Machshir Mitzvah Enom Docha Mitzvah Shabbos, but here for the sake of the Avodah, if it's in the Migdash, they would allow it if it was his friend who's going to use his teeth to remove the Abelis, because even though Machshir Mitzvah Enom Docha Mitzvah Shabbos, but if he does it as a Shvus Rabbanon, then we apply the principle of Shvus B'Migdash. If that be the case, Kevon D'Ami Rabbanon B'Alma. Okay, now here we need a little bit of an introduction. The word B'Alma here is referring not to what we call Dvar Mitzvah, which is our case of Yabelis, but it's referring to Meleches Gozes L'Dvar Rishus. He wants to cut his nails, let's say. You know, he's cutting off his nails. That's a malach of gozes. And that's a dvar rishus. And the Rabbanan Shita is that in the case of gozes l'dvar rishus, then if he does it in an unusual way, which means that he cuts it off with his hands or with his teeth, that's only a shvus. And if we conceptualize it, the definition of meleches gozes, according to Rabbanan, is the tsuras hamalacha, the way that you do the cutting. If you do it in an unusual way, that's only a shvus. Is then I have a problem. I don't understand this price. Why? Because hacha mali hu mali chavero. What difference does it make whether he himself violates the Shvus D'Rabbanan in the Migdash by personally ripping off this wart, or he involves his friend in doing so? Now, either way, it's a Shvus D'Rabbanan, and a Shvus B'Migdash. He's doing it in an unusual way. El alav, Rabbi Eliezer. Why? The Amar B'Alma, Rabbi Eliezer's sheet about Gozes, is that the Malach is not determined by the Tzuras HaMalach. I couldn't care less whether you do it with your hands, your nose, your teeth, or your fingers, whatever way your gozes. So, for example, if a person, according to Rabbi Eliezer, would bite his teeth on Shabbos, or he would use his hands to rip off a nail from his fingernails on Shabbos, and certainly if he bites off his mouth, in all these cases, he did a gozes. Let's look at the final product, and the final product is, proof is in the pudding. And what did he get at the end? He took off what he had to take off. That's called Meleches Gozes. I don't care what surah, what way you went about doing it. Is therefore Yechayev a Chatos, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Oh, now you're talking about a Chiyuv Chatos here. Then, what we're going to do is, we're going to talk about, let's say, we said that if it's a Tikkun Gomur, and he does it the regular way, in a case of Kotzis L'Chavero, Shalobikli, here is the only case where Rabbi Eliezer will agree that we reduce it from a Doraisa to a Drabmon. Again, because of this combination of two factors. Number one, it's Kotzis L'Chavero. So if it's Kotzis L'Chavero, he's not so machpin on doing a perfectly good Ktsitsa. He's not doing it on his own body. And secondly, he's doing it with his teeth. In such a case, Rabbi Eliezer is moda that we can reduce it down to a drabbanon level. And it's not gozes d'orais, but gozes drabbanon. V'hochen, therefore, here, when the Kohen has the abelis, and he wants to do the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, what we're going to do is we're going to tell his friend to bite off the abelis, and that's going to be a combination of chavero plus shinov to reduce it from a Doraisa to a Drabbani, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, and apply the principle of Ein Shvus V'Migdash. We see clearly, if we attribute this, the authorship of this brisa to Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer requires a shinui. Lo, the Gemara rejects it. Li'olam, Rabbi Eliezer old machshir mitzvah dochas haShabbos. Even if he could do it b'shinui, we're not going to require that he does it in an unusual way. The Kohen himself could therefore cut off the abelis even with a kli. Aye, the Braisa says that he has to invite his friend to bite off his yabelis. Rabbanon, that reflects the Shita Rabbanon, who hold that Machshir Mitzvah ain't Abdokan Mr. Shabbos. And then you ask me the question, so if that be the case, why didn't the Braisa allow for the Bal Yabelis Atzmo, he himself could rip it off with his mouth, with his teeth? Because according to Rabbanon, Meleches Gozes depends upon the Tzuras HaMelech. If you do it in an unusual Tzura, he doesn't have to introduce his friend into the picture. He himself can take it off with his teeth, and that would reduce it to a Shvus Rabbanan, a Shvus B'Migdash. So if that be the case, why did the Braisa insist that he invite his friend? And the answer is, E also Bekreso Hachinami. If the Abelis would have been on his belly in a place where he himself could just bend over and remove the wart with his teeth, he would do so. And we would tell him to do so. He would not have to invite his friend to do so. But Hocha, what's our case in the Braisa? Kigon she'olsolo neshicha begavo. Where is the wart? It's on his back. I never saw anybody who has such he has such movement in his neck that he can turn it around and bite something off of his back. Or Batsile Yodov, right? Maybe it's on the back of his arm or his shoulders in such a way that there's no way that he can bite it off. It's therefore, is Iulo Motzi Shokile, he himself can't help himself. And therefore he has to invite his friend. So this whole business that we built castles on, that the Bryson insists that he invite his friend to do it, that's all a mitzvah. It's just a reality. It's just a situation in which there was no other way of getting rid of the abelis. However, as far as taking off the abelis with a kli, which is an isa doraisa, that would certainly be asur. So the Gemara asks, I Rabbanon, if you're telling me that it's Rabbanon who hold that makshir mitzvahim dochen es haShabbos, and that applies even in Migdash, had it been a Doraisa. So therefore, the Braisa didn't mention that the Kohen himself could rip off bite off his Yabelis because the Braisa is in a place where he can't get to it. Is why did the Braisa say Shinov? Nishkele Niela Biyat. When he invites his friend to remove this Yabelis, why can't he have his friend of him just rip it off with his hand? After all, we're going according to Rabbanon that the Tzuras Maisa Gozes is what determines whether it's Doraisa or not. And now, if he does it with his hand instead of using a knife, that's already a different Tzura, that's already a Shinui, and that reduces it Kelacha Yad to a Rabbanon. So why did the Rabbanon in the Braisa insist on introducing his friend, and not only that his friend should do it with his teeth and not with the yacht? Okay, maybe you're saying he himself, the Kohen, couldn't have done it, it's in his back and so forth. But when he introduces his friend, why does it say that his friend has to bite off the abelis? Let the friend just simply rip off the abelis with his hand. Now, if the Braisa would have mentioned that his friend could rip off the abelis with his hand, then we would have learned derived two conclusions. Number one, that machshiri mitzvah dochmas haShabbos only if it's a shvus d'rabbanan. We would not allow him to cut it off with a knife. And secondly, that when you cut off the abelis, if you would have used the kli, it would make no difference whether he did it himself or he did it his friend, because that's a violation of a doraisa. But the Braisa was very careful, and it only allowed he only allowed using the yad and not kli. Again, this is all if it would have said yad instead of kli. And then tifshot to Rabbi Eliezer, we would have gotten a tremendous gain out of that. We would have been able to answer a suffix of Rabbi Eliezer, and that is that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanon about a case where he cuts his nails, or Yabelis for that matter. Is that an Isa d'Oraisa d'Rabbanon if he does it biyad, if he only does it with his hand? Avol b'kli, divrei kol chai, if everybody be d'Oraisa. So that when you cut off something that's alive, from a live being, which is Meleches Gozes, a told of Gles Gozes, then the normal way you would do it during the week is with a kli. Now the Braisa is only matir with shinov, and not biyodo. If that be the case, then we don't really have an answer to the question of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer wanted to know about yad. So the Braisa would have been at a great advantage had it mentioned yad. Why does it mention shinov? So therefore, we're inclined to believe that the authorship of the Braisa is not the Rabbanan, but rather Rabbi Eliezer. And once again, we see that even though Rabbi Eliezer is matir machshirei mitzvah on Shabbos, that's only if he does a b'shinui. Ulatam, make the Gemara is not happy that Rabbi Eliezer nami lishkele niela biyad. Why couldn't the Braisa allow his friend, in a case where he himself couldn't have removed the avelis, to remove it biyad? That also would have been a shinui. Why shinov? Why does he have to bite it off with his mouth? So Gemara answers, "Hi, my iam epishlem Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that Meleches Gozes is not determined by the tzura, but by the final totzah, by the final achievement. Is hainu the goza yad otu kli? Now we're afraid that if we allow him to take it off with his hand, he might take it off with his kli." According to Rabbanan, you should allow his friend to take it off with a yad. Why? Because according to the Rabbanan Shita, once you have a yad, it's already a different kind of a tzura. And in such a case, you're not violating an Isa d'Oraisa. So therefore, for the sake of Migdash, we apply the principle of Ein Shvus Migdash. It should have been mutter even biyad. It's only according to Rabbi Eliezer, who's more machmir Meleches Gozes, is therefore he has a gzera of gazrina yad otu kli. He writes over here in the Hebrew that gozar iser litla biyad otu netila bekli she iser doraisu kshem she yesh l'shanos l'daito midoraisu l'drabonon kach yesh l'shanos mishvus chamura l'shvus kala unetilas yabeles biyad chamura minatila b'shinov. In other words, again, this is all based on Rava's understanding. Rabbi Eliezer is telling you that you want to do a shinui, well, do the best shinui that you can. And if you can do a shinui, not only biyad, but also b'shinov, that's what you should do. Now, the next Mishnah, here in the middle of Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis, is going to address the issue of what's called a makah on the yad of a kohen. Now a kohen, in order to do the avodah, he has to have direct contact with the kli shareis. Kohen shaloka betzbo'o, if now he has a makah on his hand, is korech aleha gami b'migdash. Now, this is interesting because we have here an overlap of two different areas of halacha. One is we're going to have to analyze this Mishnah from the perspective of what's called chatzitza, that if he puts a gemi, we'll see what a gemi is in a minute, around and wraps it around his hand, there's going to be a separation between his hand and the kli shareis. And on Shabbos, we have another issue because this gemi is therapeutic. And we don't allow therapy on Shabbos. It's an Isa Gzera Darabonin of Refuah on Shabbos. But here we're talking the Migdash. So Gemi, which is a kind of a reed grass, and it has therapeutic properties, normally would be asur, but although the Chacham said the refu b'Shabbos is asur, unless it's a sakana, but here, for the purpose of the avodah, we're going to allow him to do this, because we're going to apply the principle of ein shvus b'migdash, aval lo b'medina, but we're not going to allow him to put on the gemi on his wound on Shabbos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But v'im lahotzi dam, if on the other hand, he ties the gemi down very tight in such a way that he removes any infected blood, is then kan v'kano. So that's already a violation of an Issur Torah. Probably meleches netilas neshama, ki adamu anefesh. And that's also even in the Mikdash. Now the Gemara is going to analyze this Mishnah from the perspective of Avodas Kohanim. Isn't there an issue here with the Gemi of a Chatzitza? It separates the Yad of the Kohen from the Yad from the Kli Sharis. Not only that, we're going to have another issue, and that is that a Kohen is not allowed to wear more than the number of the exact number of Begadim, Bigdei Kohuna, that the Torah prescribes. Om Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chia lo shanu elegemi aval tziltzul katan have yiter begadim. If he's using a gemi is not made of cloth; it's made of reeds, as we said before. And therefore, if it doesn't constitute a beged, then there's no violation of ribui begadim. But if he has a tziltzul katan, some sort of beautiful ribbon that he ties around this finger, that's already Yitur B'Gadim. That has the status of a Beged. Now, later on, we're going to see, and we've touched on this in the past, I believe, that the Beged, the minimum shear of a cloth to constitute a Beged, has got to be Gimel al Gimel Etzbos. And we can assume that this Tzaltzul Katan is even smaller than that. So it's not really a Beged in the strict sense. But nevertheless, according to Rav Yehuda, this is called Yitur B'Gadim. A Kohen is doing the Mikdash with an extra beged that he's wearing, and therefore the Avodah should be possible. And that would apply even during the weekday. It has nothing to do with Shabbos. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah insists that he tie around his finger a gemi, because a gemi is not a beged. Rabbi Yochanan says there's no problem of Yitur B'Gadim. I don't know what you're talking about, Rabbi Yehuda. Lo amru yitur begadim ela b'makom begadim. If you add another beged on top of the begadim that you're wearing, or in the place where normally you would wear a beged, that's called yitur begadim. But shalom b'makom begadim on his fingers, nobody wears anything on their fingers. That's shalom b'makom begadim lo havi yitur begadim. He's not adding a beged. So the Gemara now asks, v'tepakle, why are you racking your brains here about, you know, adding this tzaltzul katan, and it, is it a yitur begadim, is it not a yitur begadim, mishum chatzitza? There's a more fundamental issue here. I don't know why you're arguing out a secondary issue. And that is that if he covers his hand with a tzaltzul katan, then that is a chatzitza between his hand and the Kli Sharis. That's going to undermine his avodah. So our answer is, number one, biyad small. It could be that since he does the avodah biyad yamin, that's an absolute requirement. And now he has a wound on his left hand, so that when he ties around his belt, around his left hand, there's no chatzitza between, because his left hand is not coming in contact with the Kli Sharis. Or inami, another opportunity is b'yamin but shalom makom avoda. Let's say he has a mak on the other side of his hand. He does the avoda with the palm of his hand, and therefore there's no problem of chatzitza. So the only problem here is really yitur begadim. Is he adding another beged? Rabbi Yochanan holds it shalom makom begadim, and therefore it's not called a beged. And Rabbi Yehuda, holds that even shalom b'makom begadim, there's a problem of yitur begadim. Upliga d'rava, Rabbi Yochanan, who is of the opinion that on his fingers, which is shalom b'makom begadim, we don't bear wear begadim on our fingers, it's not considered a yitur begadim, is against Rava. D'yama Rava, Amar Rav Chizda, The Makom Gadim Afilu Nema Achas Chotzetz Shalom Makom Gadim Sholosh Al Sholosh and Spos Chotzetzos. Rava says there are two halachas. There's one halacha of a chatzitza b'makom b'gadim, which means that if he has even nema achas, meaning one thread or one hair, that's a chatzitza between his basar and his bigdei kuhuna. So let's say if he wasn't wearing his clothes, before he puts on the bigdei kuhuna, he has a thread or a hair, and then he puts on the begadim, that hair itself is the chatzitza between his basar, his flesh, and the big dekuna is avodas psula. But what happens if he ties around something to another part of his body where he doesn't wear begadim? Then we have a problem of yita begadim, and that applies even shaloba makam begadim, but it only applies to a beged. And what's a beged? Sholosh al sholosh etzbos. That's considered an extra beged. And that's going to passel his avod because of yitur begod. Pachas mishlolosh al sholosh ein chotzitzos. That's not considered a beged, and therefore there's no yitur begodim, and it's not a problem. And the Gemara says, Adar Rabbi Yochanan vadi pligi. Certainly, there's no question about it that this statement of Rav is against Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says that there's no yitur begodim shelo b'makom begodim. And now, Rava says explicitly that even Shalom Makom B'gadim, if it's Shalosh Al Shalosh Etzbos, it is Yitur B'gadim. That's for sure. That's what we call in Yiddish Upgeret. Ad Rabbi Yehuda, B'reid, Rabbi Chiyo, Mi, Neimit the Pligi. Now the Gemara has a Chakira. Is Rava against Rabbi Yehuda? Why? Because on the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda says Tziltzil Katan is already considered, constitutes Yitur B'gadim and apostles the Avodah. Tziltzil katan is less than gimel al gimel etzbos. Let's say gimel al gimel etzbos is a patch of cloth, right? But here we're talking about a little ring around his finger. It certainly doesn't have the dimensions of gimel al gimel etzbos. Or shall we say, no, maybe we can reconcile Rabbi Chiya with Rava, and even Rav would agree in the case of Tziltzil Katan, that constitutes Yitur B'gadim, even though it's less than Gimel and Gimel Etzbos. And why is that? Shiny Tziltzil Katan Dechashivi. Because it's Tziltzil Katan is a beautiful kind of a band or a ring, and it has Chashivus, then it becomes a beged simply because of its inherent Chashivus. When does Rav require Gimel and Gimel Etzbos? That's just a patch of cloth. It has no significance. But if it is a tziltzil katan, that's already something linoy, as we say, it's for beauty, it's decorative, then it has chashivas, even if it's less than gimel al gimel. Lishnachrina, Amrile, there's another Lishna Basra that presents the machlokas in a different way. Omer avyu devrei drav chiyo lo shonu elo gemi, aval tziltzil katan chotzeitz. They were only matir, the coin, to be korech, to wrap around his wound in the Beis HaMikdash Gemi, which is not a beged, but Tziltzil Katan, since it is a beged, it's chotzitz, meaning it's yitur begodim. And therefore he's not allowed to do this. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo Omru, Chitzitza, Ella is coming up. If the tziltzil katan is less than shalosh al shalosh, it's not a begin, and therefore there's no psul of yitur begadim, ela b'makom begadim. And now we're saying, according to this lishna Rabbi Yochanan, that if he puts a tziltzil katan, which is less than gimel al gimel, in a makom begadim, that's going to be considered a psul of his avoda as a yitur begadim, even though it is less than shalosh al shalosh, avol shalom b'makom begadim. But if it's in a place on the body like the hands, which is not b'makom begadim, here we turn to the afkuf dalet omen aleph, shalosh al shalosh chotzos, pachos mishalosh al shalosh ein chotzos. The psul of yitur begadim would only apply, it's contingent on the fact that he has this minimum shear of a beged, namely gimel al gimel atzbos. Vahainu, and this Lishna Basra, as it presents Rabbi Yochanan, is exactly identical to the sheet of Rava in the name of Chizkiah that we learned on the previous Amud, that b'makom gadim, even one nema achas is chotzetzes. Only in shalom makom gadim, we need a requirement of shalosh al shalosh. And then it becomes yitub gadim. So then it comes out, according to Lishna Basa, Rabbi Yochanan is only coming to argue against Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a tziltzil katan, even though it's less than shalosh al shalosh, is possible, and even if it's on his fingers, which is shalom b'makom gadim. So Gemara says, lema pliga de Rav Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya. Shall we assume that if Rav Yochanan and Rava both together agree that we require in shalom b'makom gadim, gimel al gimel, otherwise it's not yitub gadim, then that's certainly against Rav Yehuda, who says that tziltzil katan constitutes a yitub gadim. And the answer is no. Shani tziltzil katan d'chashivi. Now we're going to introduce that concept that you don't have an absolute requirement of gimel al-gimel etzbos. Gimel al-gimel sets up the chashivas of a beged. If you have something that's beautiful linoy, it's ornamental, like the tziltzil katan, then even Rava and Rabbi Yochanan, they will all be on board. They'll all concede that it is a yitur beged. It has the status of beged simply because of its chashivas, despite the smallness of its size. And the Gemara now asks the kashel Rabbi Yochanan, Adi Ashmeinon Gemi Lishminin Tziltzil Katan. Why did Rabbi Yochanan, when he was matir to be chovesh, the etzba, with a tziltzil katan? Well, so why did he mention the gemi? You know, the Tana says that he could korech mak begemi b'migdash. Why did he mention begemi? Gemi is not a beged at all. He could have told me tziltzil katan, that even a tziltzil katan is allowed. And then now he has a big chiddush, that it's not yitur begadim. And the Gemara answers, milsad agav urcha kamash malon degemi sami. The only reason he mentioned gemi is to teach you that gemi is therapeutic. And that's a halacha that we have to know for a fuah, that he's allowed to be chovesh on his makkah in the mikdash, something which is therapeutic, and it's not also in the mikdash, because even though it's a therapy, and we usually have a shvus in which we prohibit refuah on Shabbos, but here in mikdash, we're going to apply the principle of ein shvus b'mikdash. Okay, Rabbosai, so this is where we're going to stop here. I give you your homework for tomorrow. It's not the last daf in Erevin, but the next to the last daf in Erevin, that's here, the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Dalid Amid Aleph. And then, Yemirtz Hashem, you'll have to bring with you two Gemaras, Yemirtz Hashem, on Sunday. You'll have to bring a Gemara Erevin and a Gemara Pesach, because we're going to have to look a little bit, maybe an introduction, to Masechta Pesach. Okay, then? I'll take this opportunity to wish you all a Shabbat Shalom.